tonight on Blackhawks Live. A new season, different faces, and the drive to win.
Jones, nice slot, fires, Patsy, rebound, score! Connor Bedard, Donato to Nazar over the blue line, down the slot, he shoots, he scores! Frank Nazar on a breakaway!
Join Charlie Romiliotis as he dives into what's next for the Hawks. Here's Charlie.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Welcome in to Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. Charlie Romiliotis here with my guy Jack Heinrich riding shotgun with me. We have a fun show today. We're going to talk about the Blackhawks' decision to put Andreas Athanasiou on waivers. My fellow Greek is on waivers. We'll get to that. I did a fun interview with Joey Anderson after practice as well. That'll air later on in the show. And then Hall of Fame weekend in Toronto. Jeremy Roenick is finally getting inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. So we'll share our thoughts on that in the last segment of the show. First, Jack, how are we doing tonight?
Doing good.
It's been a long couple weeks for us, especially for you, bouncing around Bears and all the other different obligations that you have.
Yeah, I want to get away from the Bears, so yeah. This is a good cleanser.
this is a safe space for Bears fans.
Absolutely.
It's been a chaotic day in Bears Twitter specifically. Let's get to the Blackhawks. Coming off the back-to-back losses to Detroit and Dallas, they ended up bouncing back from those two consecutive losses to beat the Minnesota Wild on Sunday night, 2-1 in overtime. Got a little bit dicey towards the end where the Hawks, it was a very low event hockey game through 40 minutes, and then the Blackhawks played a bend but don't break kind of brand of hockey in the third period. Ended up giving up a goal with 4:31 left in the third period. And fortunately for the Blackhawks, they found a way to win in overtime, Philip Kurashev scoring the overtime winner. You know, I said this on the postgame show last night as well, but the Hawks have come very, very close twice now this season to having 1-0 shutout victories. The first one was in Winnipeg on the first road trip of the season. They were 64 seconds away from picking up a 1-0 shutout victory. Arvid Soderblom was in net. It would have been an unbelievable kind of story for him, given how difficult last season was for him. And then this past game against Minnesota, the Hawks were 4 minutes and 31 seconds away from a 1-0 shutout win. So you would like to see the Blackhawks kind of learn from the past mistakes of playing a bend but don't break kind of hockey. Nick Foligno was talking about it after practice today. He's like, I would like for us to see us score the next goal against Minnesota, where you're up 1-0 in the third period. Rather than protecting it, I'd like to go see us attack and play an aggressive brand of hockey, not veering from what got us to that point. But it was encouraging from the aspect of the Blackhawks learned from their loss against Winnipeg in giving up the late goal, and they were able to find a way to pick up 2 points in overtime to at least feel good about the fact that they were able to pull through even though they gave up the goal late.
Yeah, it's some adversity, and it's good that they're able to do that because we've seen a bunch, not even this year, just in the last couple of years, that's just kind of derailed them, and then they lose the game, but they're able to win, and the locker room seemed a little happier than normal because at home, like, that's when I go in the locker room, and it's been a lot of losses at the beginning this year, but they finally snapped that skid, so it was good to see, and they just got to keep stacking them. I mean, last week, they had those two bad losses, and you're kind of like, oh, you know, they had a good road trip, and now they're kind of falling right back, so hopefully they could build off something now that they have some off time in between games.
Yeah, it always feels like it's a step and a half forward, right, then a step back, and so you'd like to see the Blackhawks maybe take a couple steps forward and then kind of shoulder the step back, kind of string together some wins. Big reason why the Blackhawks won last night was the performance by Jason Dickinson. Not only him scoring a goal, but his line went up against Kirill Kaprizov, Marco Rossi, and Matt Zuccarello, the big trio for the Minnesota Wild, their top line. And Jason Dickinson has really become one of the premier shutdown type centers in the NHL. And I know that sounds like an over exaggeration, but it's really not. I know last year when I was doing my Selke Trophy voting, I was looking at Jason Dickinson, the numbers, and it was like when he was on the ice at even strength, or I think it was 5-on-5 for the Blackhawks last season, the goal differential was like +9. And when
That's
he wasn't
impressive.
On the ice, yeah, and when he wasn't on the ice, it was -94. Yeah. It was like an 103 goal difference. And so he is just a big reason why we don't see Jason Dickinson in the second line center role or playing any sort of power play time is because the Blackhawks have pegged him as their shutdown guy and a guy that's going to be the primary penalty killer for the Blackhawks. And man, he has really grown into being an elite shutdown center in the NHL.
And this, and didn't they trade for him like right before the season, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, and it was Vancouver giving them to Chicago, and the Hawks got a second round pick as well. So it was basically like Vancouver saying, please take this guy off our hands. And Chicago is just like, sure.
Yeah, and he's turned into one of their better defensive players. And that's something Kyle Davidson's done pretty well, some of these like late signings. I mean, they had Jared Tenorti for a little bit. Sam Lafferty kind of got his career going. So he's done well with that, and it's good to see. And he got rewarded with that contract, too, and finally getting a goal because he worked so hard. Getting that goal, it was cool to see his celebration, just kind of letting out a yell and trying to get the fans into it.
Well, it was funny because we had Jason on after the postgame show yesterday, and in real time, I totally forgot that it was his second goal of the season. His first one came in the home opener. So the Hawks are now 2-0 at home when Dickinson scores a goal, and they're 0-4 at the United Center when he doesn't. So He's got to find a way
Sounds
to score
like,
a goal.
Yeah.
That's the recipe.
The offense.
He's driving the offense for the Blackhawks. Hey, the big news out of today was the Blackhawks placing Andreas Athanasiou on waivers. Credit to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, who had the news first. Luke Richardson confirmed it later on in the day that he was going to be placed on waivers. Tough situation for a veteran guy that is probably too good for the AHL, but he hasn't been able to crack the Blackhawks lineup on a consistent basis this season. I think partly, you know, I look at his first season with the Blackhawks and he had 20 goals, 20 assists for 40 points in 81 games. So he was, I mean, a pretty decent stat line for a guy like, and that's why they re-signed him, like to get production like that. And last season he missed a majority of the season. I think he played in only like 27 games last season because he missed a majority of it with a groin injury. And so this year comes to training camp. The Hawks are hoping that he can take control of the second line center position, but he didn't really do that. And Philip Kurashev is moved into that role. And then you're trying to find a place for Athanasiou, who started the season on the fourth line. And he's been a healthy scratch in 11 of the 16 games this season. Last game was October 22nd against Vancouver, which was nearly 3 weeks ago. So he hasn't played in a long time. For the Blackhawks, it's a move. It's funny, Jack, because last season the Hawks dealt with so many injuries that they were like scraping for bodies. And now they've gone through the first month of the season. No one's really been hurt up front. We had one illness. It was Joey Anderson, which we'll get to later. But there hasn't been really been like Luke Richardson's trying to find ice time for these guys. And it was easy for him to find it for guys like Athanasiou last season.
Right.
But this year, you know, not to say the Blackhawks are playing well, because there are opportunities to get people into the lineup. But two players that maybe should be playing or should be playing bottom six roles are sitting for the Blackhawks when, you know, so it's been hard for Luke Richardson to find that ice time. And Athanasiou has just kind of been the odd man out for a couple weeks.
Yeah, and he's been playing the hot hand, and Athanasiou struggled even when he did play. And it is tough. I mean, that first year, you're like, oh, like this guy might be able to stick around a little bit. And the injuries got him. And then he kind of, like, I'd even forget, because he hasn't played so long, you kind of even forget, like, oh, yeah, like he's not hurt or anything. They're just scratching him. So it is kind of crazy. They signed him to that extension, and now a little extension, and now that he might be looking for somewhere else. But it'll be interesting to see if someone will pick him up, because they'll have to take on the salary, right, if he goes through the waivers. So I don't know if he's going to even get picked up.
Yeah, I would be really surprised if he got claimed by a team. He's got a $4.25 million cap hit, so it just feels like a big cap hit to swallow for a team that would be taking a flyer on a guy that if he doesn't pan out, then he could be an extra over there. And then, so I would be surprised. I think he's going to clear waivers, and then it would get to a point where now he goes to Rockford, and that's got to be psychologically difficult for him too, because he probably feels like he's an NHL player, but now you're going to the minor leagues. And the good news is he could go play with guys like Frank Nazar and some of the Blackhawks prospects that are going to be here in the future. But man, he'll get his ice time down there, but you just worry how much of kind of a shock it's going to be for him.
Confidence hit.
Confidence hit. And also just, you know, it's just different. You know, you're busing to some practice, to games, and it's just a different atmosphere down there. And so, especially for a veteran type player that feels like he is an NHL caliber player, it's going to be difficult for him. I'm pulling up a quote by Luke Richardson from practice today. He said, last year we were trying to find bodies. This year we're trying to find ice time. Mm-hmm. And so it goes back to what we were saying about last year. It was easy for Luke Richardson to kind of get some guys into the lineup. This year they haven't had, you know, the Hawks, I feel like in part they added a lot of free agent forwards over the summer and acquiring Ilya Mikheyev and signing Craig Smith and Pat Maroon and Tara Vinen and Bertuzzi. You know, originally it was like, wow, that looks like a crowded forward group. But boy, that would have been beneficial for them last season because they dealt with so many injuries. So I feel like the Hawks were kind of preparing for, mm-hmm. or not preparing, just being set for if the Hawks dealt with injuries this season, they were better equipped to handle it. But they've had no injuries, and poor Athanasiou has been one of the guys that's, you know, just on the odd man, on the outside looking in. And can he play better? Sure. And should he be playing better? Absolutely. But it's a tough situation where the Hawks are trying to find ice time for all these other guys. Like Pat Maroon was a healthy scratch the other night, and it was like, whoa, you know, Pat Maroon, like you don't want to, you know, ruffle his feathers either, because he's a three-time Stanley Cup champion. He's an important voice of the locker room. You don't want to go too long, or you don't want to send a message to your younger guys that he's, you know, his voice doesn't matter because he's out of the lineup.
Right.
So it's a fine balance for the coaching staff for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, it's definitely been juggling, and when you talk to Joey Anderson later on, but he's been really solid, so you don't really want to take him out. Donato's been great, so you don't want to take him out. So it's a tough crunch, and it'll be interesting to see like how they want to play with Athanasiou down if he goes to Rockford, because you got some guys like Nazar and Colton Dock down there, so it'll be interesting to see where they want to slot him in, because they want to develop those guys too, but you maybe are still trying to work Athanasiou to get him back. So it'll be interesting if he clears and goes down there.
For sure. All right, let's take our first break here on Blackhawks Live. We've got our Joey Anderson interview coming up later on, and we'll get to our Hawks click poll. Is it time to put Tyler Bertuzzi on a line with Connor Bedard? You can go vote at WGNradio.com, and we'll reveal the results next on the segment. We'll stick with us. Here you're listening to Blackhawks Live on 720 WGN. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live. Charlie Remeliotis here with Jack Heinrich. We are looking at I just pulled up the Hawks click poll of the Blackhawks that we put out there on social media today. Is it time to put Tyler Bertuzzi on a line with Connor Bedard? You know, it's funny, Jack, because when we went to training camp, first day, they're rolling through the lines, and Tyler Bertuzzi is on that line with Connor Bedard. I think it was with Tara Vinen to start, and they stuck with that line pretty much all of camp, well, for the most part. I know they gave Taylor Hall a run there just a little bit. Kurashev got a little crack. But for the most part, Tyler Bertuzzi was on that first line with Connor Bedard. And the day before the Utah season opener, the Hawks deviated from that. And it's the only line that we haven't seen so far. I think Connor has played with like 7 or 8 line mates so far.
Oof.
He has not played with Tyler Bertuzzi yet. And Connor Bedard is on a 7-game goal drought. You can see the frustration in his play. He doesn't feel like he's generating as many chances as he was in the prior games. And so the chances have started to go away just a little bit. So I'll throw it to you. Is it time for the Blackhawks to put Bedard with Bertuzzi and just see how it works out?
I'll say yes. Because, like you're saying, we were talking before the show, I'm like, he was with them during training camp. And you're like, yeah, pretty much the whole time. And I think in one of those get-to-know-you videos that I did with Bertuzzi, I was like, oh, he's going to be on the top line with Bedard. And then that just looks foolish right now, at least. But, if Bedard's still searching, maybe see if something's there. It seems like him and Reichel have done pretty well. Maybe those three can do it, or Taylor Hall's looking a lot more comfortable, like he's trusting his knee and more healthy, so maybe those two pop up with Bedard. But if he's on this goalless drought, I'm open to really anything, and this is one of the big free agents you signed to a 4-year contract, so you want to see if it works.
Yeah, exactly. I think you bring in a guy like that to help be a player that can play with Bedard and go to the dirty areas of the ice, whether it's in front of the net or just retrieving pucks in on the forecheck really hard. And so I think because Connor Bedard is struggling and Tyler Bertuzzi, he had a really slow start to the season. That was like Bertuzzi for the first road trip was like really wasn't making as big of an impact as I thought he would. But now that he has started to kind of feel himself a little bit more, return to the form that we were used to seeing at the end of last season with the Maple Leafs when he was a really like an impact type player, I think it's time to put Bertuzzi on a line with Bedard. And 75% of the fans that voted also agree. And I would be surprised if practice, you know, if we were at practice on, they're going to have an off day on Tuesday. So if we return to practice on Wednesday, and if that isn't a line, because it's just a one combination that they haven't tried yet. My only concern, the only downside about a potential line of Bertuzzi with Connor Bedard and whoever the winger is on the right side is winning faceoffs, because Nick Foligno is on that line right now because he can win 55% of his draws. So do you go Bertuzzi, Bedard, Foligno, or do you, I would go Bertuzzi, Bedard, and Teräväinen and just kind of deal with the faceoff situation, but I wouldn't be opposed. I wouldn't hate the idea if they kept Foligno on that line simply just to win draws.
Yeah, that's been the big thing with Bedard, trying to work through his first couple years. So, yeah, that might be a little dicey if it's those three.
Yeah.
But maybe they'd keep Foligno up there. But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, you like that offensive potential when they have the puck.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. When they have the puck, you know, they're able to do some special things with it, or at least Connor Bedard is. But so we'll see. We'll see what the Blackhawks roll with on Wednesday when they return to practice and prepare for the next game against Seattle. We'll take another break. My interview with Joey Anderson is going to be coming up next. You're listening to Blackhawks Live on 720 WGN. Here with Blackhawks forward Joey Anderson. Joey, I wanted to talk about your path to the Blackhawks. You were acquired in February of 2023 from Toronto. And last year, you got called up by the Blackhawks because they dealt with so many injuries and then became a fixture to that shutdown line. What's it been like finding sort of a permanent role with the Blackhawks here?
It's been obviously a journey, but I think it's just a testament to, you know, I'm playing in a situation where, you know, the staff appreciates what I bring. Obviously, very, very high chemistry with Dickey. We both just play the same way, and it makes it a world of difference for someone like me that, you know, just I'm a details guy and trying to be in the right spots, make the right plays all over the ice. I'm not going to wow anybody. So the more I'm on the same page with guys I'm playing with, the better I look and the better we look as a team. And, you know, I have Dickey to thank for a lot of that, and just, you know, complimenting each other and not getting bored with what we're doing, but continuing to do it on a night in, night out basis. And we've had a lot of fun doing it. That's obviously a big thing, is, you know, we, you know, come to the rink every day, and even when, you know, things aren't going great, we're still trying to find a way to, how can we be positive about what we're doing, and trying to, you know, build this thing in the right direction.
We were just talking to Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson after practice, and he was saying about your game specifically that you know exactly what you're going to get with you, and it's a predictable style, straight line player. Is that something you pride yourself on, just being a guy that, you know, the team can count on you in this way?
Yeah, especially as I've gotten older. I think, you know, when I was in college and junior and even through early in the AHL, you know, there's more offensive role they give me, but the style of play is the same, and that's where, like, you know what, some nights, even now, even though it may not seem like, some nights I, you know, I'm feeling really good with the puck and I can make, you know, some little plays and passes that maybe other nights I can't. But like you say, every night I hope the coaches know they're getting great posture from Joey. He's checking hard, like, doesn't necessarily mean hitting guys, but like, I'm in through guys' bodies, I'm playing in the right position, I'm making the right plays. Like, you know, it's reliable, and that's what, if that keeps me in the lineup, then that's something you got to just staple with. And you know, I take a lot of pride in playing the right way.
That was going to be a follow-up question of mine. I was looking this up right before. So since last season, when you're on the ice at even strength, the Blackhawks have a +5 goal differential, and that's tied with Jason Dickinson for the team lead over the last two seasons. How much pride do you take in that, being on the ice for more goals and also protecting goals and not giving up too many chances?
A ton. I think, obviously, of course, Jason's right there playing most of my minutes with him, but if you're a defensive guy, you have to keep the puck out of the net, and that's the starter. And then you chip in when you can. And, you know, we talk a lot about, especially our line, like, we want to drive possession. We're not a rush line. We're not going to, you know, be weaving all up and down the ice. It's, let's get it in the offensive zone, and let's set up our offense in their end. We possess the puck. We find chances that way. It leads to other lines coming out and being able to play in the offensive zone. And, you know, if you look at, like, the old thing, it's like the best defense is a good offense. It's like, well, if we're playing in their end, we're not defending. So it doesn't have to be flashy. It doesn't have to be pretty, but it's maintaining, you know, good puck plays and dependability about where we know it's going to go. Which has been big.
How rewarding was it for you to get a 2-year contract by the Blackhawks over the summer to kind of feel that sort of stability that they appreciate what you bring to the table, and also giving you beyond 1 year where it's like, hey, we like you enough to give you a multi-year deal?
Yeah, it was really nice. I think I was really hoping for that, and they wanted that as well, and it was a great fit. I've loved my time in Chicago. It's been, you know, wonderful, and I'm excited to be, you know, again, hopefully just a little piece of a culture that we're building that, you know, play the right way, do the little things. I'm not trying to do anything more than be a little piece in this operation, but whatever they need from me, I want to be able to help. And even coming into the year, it was like, if they needed me in Rockford, it was like, we're going to, you know, get these young guys on the right page. We're going to, you know, play the good style of hockey down there. If I'm up here, it's like, all right, how do you set a tone in your role here to be a good teammate? How are you, you know, are you around all the time? It's like, just little things that build, you know, every day. And I try and make sure I'm, you know, involved in bringing that energy in a positive way.
You were off to a great start this season being on that line. And then, unfortunately, you got sick for the home opener, and then it was a struggle to get back into the lineup. How difficult was that for you, where you know it's a crowded group, and I'm sure you wanted to play, but I was talking to you in the locker room a few days ago, and you're like, man, that sickness knocked me out for a day or two, so you needed that time to recover. But was it tough to just to kind of be out of the lineup when it was kind of out of your control, or you just got sick?
Yeah. You know, I lean heavily into my faith, and my wife and kids have helped a lot when I go home, and you get away from the game. It's like, obviously I can't do anything about it, and you're not happy not being in the lineup, especially as we're, you know, kind of up and down with our wins and losses. But when they're riding the lineup, you just keep calling in practice and pushing guys and trying to be, you know, positive and energetic around everybody. And you know, like I said, they told me it wasn't anything to do with my play, so it's just like, you know what, you just keep doing what you're doing, and eventually when you get in, be ready to go and try and pick up right where you left off.
And I think you did that for the last couple games you have. And so for you, has it been nice to get back into the lineup, and then it's like, okay, I have to play my way out of the lineup for them to take me out? Like, I need, you know, I'm you know what I mean? Like, I'm really honing in on my craft, where it's like, I better be playing good or bad or whatever for them to force them to take me out of the lineup. Is that how you see it too?
Definitely. I think, especially with, like, we talked about my style of play and what I bring, it's like, you know, the details part of my game. It's like, I talk with Kinger, assistant coach, about it. Like, those are the staple every night, and that's what they know they're getting. And it makes it hard for them to, hopefully hard for them to take me out. And then, you know, I can get my timing back down through that, and eventually it just starts to piece together good game after good game, and you build on it, and you just, like I said, you do enough good things every night that they go, you know what, he had a good game, we got to give him another, and you know, it, just trying to help our team win any way we can.
So I did a 20 questions interview with you last year, and I remember at the end we were talking about golf, like, what's your golf handicap, and you said 0, and I was like, wait, what? You're a scratch golfer? I think you're one of the best golfers, I think, in the NHL. I remember the NHLPA did a poll, and you had, like, honorable mention. Confirmed? Can you confirm or deny that you are maybe one of the best golfers on the team, at least?
On the team, for sure. I think in the league, probably not the best in the league. Me and my brother are both almost the same.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a couple. There's definitely guys out there that are better than me. But pretty consistent. Honestly, I play golf a lot like I play hockey. Fairways, greens, two putt par. You know,
simple.
Just simple. Get up and down. But you know, it's not a whole lot of flash. It's just don't make a ton of mistakes.
Did you win the scramble tournament that you guys played in a couple weeks ago on the road?
We lost by one.
Oh, to who?
I don't even remember.
Who was in your group?
It was me, Murph, Nolan Allen, and Paul Goodman, our strength coach.
You carried the team, didn't you?
We hit some good shots. We just couldn't putt. We couldn't make any putts, which in a scramble is not a great recipe.
I know the feeling.
I laughed because if I had shot my own ball that day, I probably, like, we all hit it well. I probably would have shot 74 or 5. Like, it would have been fine. But we had fun. It was a good time out there. Anytime I can golf, I like it.
Redemption next year.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Hey, thanks for doing this. Appreciate
you. Of course.
That was Blackhawks forward Joey Anderson. He is a really good golfer. Really enjoyed that conversation and just the role that he has found here with the Blackhawks. I'm sure it was tough for him to sit for a few healthy scratches in a row, but now that he's back in the lineup, he feels like one of the guys on the Blackhawks that you literally just know what you're going to get from him on a nightly basis. And you can always, he has like one of the most predictable games on the Blackhawks where it's straight line guy, great penalty killer. You know, is going to be aggressive and hard on the forecheck, like just a really nice piece to have on your roster, especially when you're talking about filling out the depth for the Blackhawks. So thanks for to Joey Anderson for doing that. We have one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks live show next on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, recapping the week in Blackhawks land. Let's do a quick prospects update for the Blackhawks. I want to go to Rockford, where Blackhawks first round pick from 2022, Frank Nazar, is off to a terrific start in his first full professional season in the minor leagues. He had 3 assists on Saturday to extend his point streak to 4 games. He has 7 points in those 4 games, 2 goals, 5 assists, and he also has 10 shots on goal. He's now tied for first on the team in goals with 4, and he leads the team in assists with 7 and points with 11 through 9 games. 2 of those 4 goals are shorthanded. So nice to see Frank Nazar tearing it up in Rockford. I think if you're a Blackhawks fan, that's exactly what you wanted to see from a guy like Nazar, that to go down there, kind of assert your dominance in the minor leagues. And hopefully, I think it's too early to start thinking about whether Nazar could be a call up in the near future for the Blackhawks. But I wouldn't be surprised, Jack, if we look in the second half of the season and Nazar is maybe a guy that the Blackhawks could use for the stretch run and just for reinforcements if he continues to put together a strong first half of the season.
And that's what you want. You want him to force your hand. And his right. First full year pro, he got a little taste last year with the team, and they gave him an opportunity to make the team, but it always seemed like Rockford was better for him. And he's taking advantage of the opportunity, because sometimes if a young player gets sent down, maybe he wanted to make the roster. You never know how that goes. So he's got the right attitude about it, and a lot of fans are excited about him. And hopefully he can keep it rolling, because, yeah, in the second half, maybe they're trying to turn the page, or you never know what they're going to do at the trade deadline, and the spot opens up, and they can put him in. So another piece, hopefully, on the way, and yeah, that it could maybe make the lineup, because hopefully these young guys can start coming up, and we can see what they've been investing in the draft.
Yeah, and I think a big reason, too, why you want a guy like Frank Nazar starting the year in Rockford is just getting used to the grind, both mentally and physically, of an 82-game regular season. and then plus playoffs down the road. Like, you want to make sure that you're not just emptying the tank for 82 games and then not leaving anything left in the tank for the playoffs to come around, which, again, Hawks are likely not going to make the playoffs this year, but you want him to prepare mentally for that down the road when the Blackhawks are competing for playoffs and for Stanley Cups when their prime opens up. And so I think what you don't want the Blackhawks to do is see that he's off to a nice start, call him up, and then in December or January, he hits a little bit of a rookie wall where his college season might be ending, because in college you play about 40-ish games. And right. So that's half the season of an NHL schedule. And so you wouldn't want him to hit a rookie wall. And then you're like, oh, we actually have to send him back down because he's struggling to, you know, he's maybe hit a wall and we don't want him to have to try to find his game in the NHL. I think you want to be encouraged by what you see over the course of a full first half of the season, at least. And then if he continues to progress and he's powering through some of the hurdles needed to overcome as a young player, then you can maybe be encouraged. Because I think when Nazar is called up, I think the goal is you don't want him to get sent back down right. ever again. Like, you want him to be like, okay, he's up in the NHL and he's going to stay here for good.
Yeah, you don't want to call him up too early, and then he's kind of going back and forth.
Right.
And we've seen that a little bit with Reichel. Maybe they did that then, but, I mean, everybody's different. But you don't want that. Could mess with his confidence and whatnot. But good start, and hopefully he can keep it going. And Levchinov scored over the weekend, so yeah. Hopefully everything can get rolling down there for Rockford.
Yeah, Artem Levchinov, he did score his first career AHL goal on Friday. Kevin Korchinski's had a little bit of a tough start down there. Mm-hmm. I think he's a -8 rating, so you'd like to see him find his game and his confidence again. But hopefully he'll turn the corner soon in Rockford. It's a Hockey Hall of Fame weekend in Toronto this week. I believe the induction ceremony is tonight. Jeremy Roenick is, I'm sure, has put together an epic speech, which I can't wait to watch and listen to later on. But nice to see a former Blackhawks superstar, Jeremy Roenick, finally get his due after years and years and years of waiting for a call that he assumed would never happen because he's waited this long. And I remember talking to him when he did his media availability. I can't remember when it was. I think it was during training camp at some point. He was saying he has like a newfound appreciation for getting the call because he like literally was not sure if it was ever going to come at that point.
Yeah, and I thought it was funny. Didn't he get the call while he was getting a coffee or something?
At Starbucks.
Yeah, so I thought that was funny. But, you know, it was cool to hear him say that. And I mean, it's obviously someone very deserving, a guy that Blackhawks fans have really been hoping and he'd get it, and now he gets it. So it's good to see from a guy from the past and then the 90s when the Hawks were playing well. So getting his call, finally.
Yeah. It's funny because I remember him sharing that story. He said he was at a Starbucks and he got the call and he started crying in front of the barista.
Yeah.
And it's like the barista was probably looking at him like, "What's this guy okay?" But that was one of the more memorable Hall of Fame calls that you'll see Jeremy Roenick get. So nice to see him get paid his due. I also, right before we were hopping on the show, was just scrolling the NHL social media website, and I saw that the Hockey Hall of Fame, the Legends Classic game was yesterday, and Duncan Keith participated in that game. And I believe it was Pavel Datsyuk. He was on the other team, and the NHL snapped a picture of Duncan Keith defending Pavel Datsyuk. And I was like, man, remember that in 2013, that series between the Hawks and Red Wings? That was really fun. So it was cool to see Duncan Keith play in that game too.
Yeah, I mean, another legend. So yeah, I didn't realize they had that either. I saw your tweet. So
yeah,
that was cool to see a little blast from the past there.
Yeah, I saw Jeremy Roenick too. He was, he had a mic in his hand. And like, he looked like he gave fans something to cheer about. I think he scored twice in the game too, and so it was cool
there
to see Jeremy Roenick, of course, picking up where he left off as a player. So nice to see Jeremy Roenick get inducted into the Hall of Fame. Duncan Keith, he's soon gonna follow him. So cool to see him participating in that Legends Classic, going up against his former division rival. All right, that's gonna do it for Blackhawks Live. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Blackhawks versus Seattle Kraken on Thursday. Pregame show starts at 8:30 right here on 720 WGN. We'll talk to you then.